Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Drop under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master in Grenada one more time, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, this is a great event going on as we celebrate the 50-year anniversary, commemorating the sinking of the artificial reef, the Bianca Sea, one of the largest artificial reefs in the entire Caribbean, if not the world. Right, Peter?
Yes, it's definitely one of the largest shipwrecks in the Caribbean and in the world that is within recreational diving limits.
Now, Peter and Galinda are with us from Aquanauts Grenada, hosting our little fiasco here, and we're doing some rebreather diving. First time back to Grenada after being certified rebreather divers, Mermaid Tony and myself. Tony, I think this was the best wreck dive I have ever done on open circuit or rebreathers, period. That was an amazing thing, but having it on rebreathers, that made it really special today, didn't it?
I think it's definitely in the top five for sure. It was an incredible dive this morning.
It's so quiet when you go down underwater, and we had the three of us on the rebreathers, and we go down there, and it's just like all you hear is your breath a little bit, and that's it. And then you see this massive wreck start to appear in front of you at about 70, 80 feet. I don't know. Well, we went down about 100, I guess. Right, Peter?
We actually went down like 130.
100, because I think we're certified down to 100 on the rebreather, so that's what we did, right?
Yeah, we were. So you're right.
Yes, exactly.
We were under supervision, though. We were under direct instructor supervision, and I think I got 134 feet.
Oh, shush. Be quiet. I think that's... she's in meters. So that's like 3 feet in feet, right?
Yeah, she's confused.
I don't know. It was still an amazing dive. And to do that on a rebreather, the silent diving rebreather, inspiration in the evolution was amazing. And that's what we're doing. Not only are we celebrating this Bianca Sea anniversary, we're actually, getting our fins under us again after a couple months after getting our certification on rebreathers. It's been a while. We went back to open circuit for a while, but now we've come back to Grenada to get used to this a little bit more. And I'm going to take my camera down for the first time tomorrow and get some real shots. I'm really excited about that, because that's one of the big benefits of becoming a rebreather diver, isn't it, Peter?
Yeah, you could see it today when we were hanging out on the deck of the Bianca Sea, and we had these schools of fish around us. First, we had this school of eagle rays passing, and the big bait ball that was there by the funnel, and the jacks coming in hunting, the grouper coming hunting, barracudas showing up, and it is as if we're not there.
Yeah, they just look at us, maybe, I guess, as a big fish. It's hard to say. I got the closest I've ever been, I believe, to a squid today. What do you think, Tony? Those squid we saw that lined up above us? You remember that on the second dive?
Yeah, I was going to mention that. There were eight of them, but I'm pretty sure they were cuttlefish.
No, those were squid. Those were not cuttlefish. Not at all. Those were not cuttlefish, were they, Peter?
No cuttlefish in the Caribbean.
Exactly. There, take that.
Aww,
take that, mermaid.
I was wrong for once.
She thought for sure she was calling me out there.
Caribbean.
Did you see
reef
that?
Squid.
Caribbean reef squid. Yeah, the cuttlefish.
They were awesome. They were right on her head.
They were. They were right over us and got real close. I was like, oh, my gosh. And there was a picture. I even made that picture, signal underwater.
That's
I was like,
why she couldn't see them, because they were right on top of her head.
Well, good point. Good point. But, yeah, I thought, no, wait a minute. There are cuttlefish in the Caribbean, though, aren't there? Definitely. Aren't there?
What?
Cuttlefish.
Cuttlefish. No, not cuttlefish.
No, those weren't cuttlefish, but there are cuttlefish
in the cuttlefish,
Caribbean.
Yeah, in the Pacific. Yeah.
But these were squid. They were smaller, and cuttlefish are more bulkier. They're kind of like the ones I've seen are probably about the size of a baseball, a little bit bigger than a baseball.
A baseball if it had been run over by a train, perhaps.
Well, maybe, yeah, with a trail.
Baseball is round, isn't it?
Yes, I
know. Nothing about baseball.
A giant teardrop,
like
kind of.
Like half a baseball bat.
Yeah, but the ball. Okay, yeah, there you go. All right, baseball bat. We'll go with that one. But the size is about that, I would say, yeah. Most of the cuttlefish I've seen.
If you count the arms, yeah.
Yeah, the squid were only small. Actually, those were small. I can't believe you didn't think. You thought that was a cuttlefish, or you thought those were cuttlefish?
Because I hardly ever get to see octopus or squid. So I was really hopeful, but I was like, no, it's got to be just a cuttlefish.
Yeah. No, those were squid, and they were lined up in formation just like fighters. And it was just amazing.
Normally very shy.
Normally very shy.
Very difficult to come close to, but they were sitting right on Tony's head. She
exactly.
didn't even know.
She didn't know. And, you know, the only thing I was kicking myself is that I didn't bring my camera, but we were still trying to get our fins under us after spending a few days or a few months not doing the rebreather thing. So I kind of wanted to get used to that before I brought my camera back down and really push this thing to the limit. Because this is what I want to accomplish on the trip, is to get some amazing shots of marine life, because a rebreather allows you to do that because you have no bubbles. And I was kind of sneaking up on a few critters, like the jawfish things, right?
Exactly. When we go to the marine park, we have some of the banded jawfish there with eggs, and you can put your face right into them, and they're not going to go back into the hole. They just wait, and you can do whatever you want.
What do you want to do with a jawfish with eggs in it?
Don't ask a mermaid.
Nothing. I'm really excited because Rob and I did that on the Explorer too. But we spent like 30 minutes trying to get a jawfish with eggs to come out of its hole.
Right.
So this is going to be great.
Yeah. They'll just say, hey, what are you looking at, maybe? They'll kind of come out and look at us and that kind of thing. So I'm really excited about doing that, and it's going to be amazing. But I forgot how quiet it is. You know, when you go down there on the rebreather, I mean, it really is silent diving. It is quite remarkable, almost eerie to a point, how quiet it can be when there's not other divers around. What do you think, Tony?
I don't think it's eerie. I think it's relaxing.
Well, eerie when we're on the Bianca Sea wreck and we're swimming through this kind of massive thing. It's fitting that it's October, because it kind of had a whole little Halloween vibe to me a little bit at one point. And I dig that stuff. Now, you're kind of creeped out by that, Tom, but I like that stuff. What? You're not?
Were you scared underwater today, Greggy?
No, I was not scared. I was. It was more of. There was a mood of foreboding at points, because it was so quiet. I'm like, oh my God, this would be the perfect setting for like a Halloween haunted house thing underwater. What do you think? Maybe we ought to do that. We ought to do a haunted dive.
Yeah, I think tomorrow we're going to play a little bit of the music of Jaws when we're down there.
Yeah, Jaws.
And see if they come.
Or Psycho, and have Tony swim out as a mermaid and.
Yeah, you know, you think? We can do that too.
What do you think, Tom?
Da-dum.
Yeah, but one thing I want to say, I want to really give you my compliments. I mean, last time you were here, you just did basically the certification class, and we did a little refresher dives yesterday, you know, brushing up on the skills and everything, but today you did excellent. It was almost as if you've never done anything else.
Well, thank you very much. And I don't know if that's the wine talking that we're having right now, but we'll take it. You hear what I'm saying? We appreciate it.
No, got nothing to do with the wine. It was really a great pleasure doing this dive this morning. It was just awesome enjoying it.
Yeah, it was. It was just relaxing. If you haven't done the rebreather thing, you really owe it to yourself to give this experience a shot, because it really is a whole new level of diving, especially for someone like me who's been, you know, doing the whole open circuit thing for 15 years now, and to have this happen at this point in my diving career, I'm kind of like, wow, this is like learning diving all over again and going through those first experiences of when you went underwater for that first time, those moments that you never forget. You get that again when you're doing a rebreather, don't you think, Tony?
You do. It gives you a renewed something else to do. It's fun. A lot of work, but it's a lot of fun. It's really rewarding once you finally start to understand what's going on and why.
Yeah, I would say it's definitely not for the faint at heart. You got to do this if you're going to commit to it, to do it, get trained properly, and know it's going to take a little bit of time. Just because you're a great scuba diver on open circuit doesn't mean you're going to take to this fish.
You're going to start again. You'll be a beginner again, and probably the first days will be even very frustrating because you can't get it right.
Yeah, no, I remember when me and Tony did this, we were both quite frustrated. Yeah. I was really frustrated. And I don't know, Tony, reflect. What do you think? What were your first thoughts after that first dive? Did you kind of feel like, uh-oh, what'd I do?
Oh, my goodness. I was just stuck on the bottom, and I couldn't get my buoyancy. This must be how my poor students feel all the time, because I've completely forgotten what that feeling was like. And I never really had that on open circuit anyway. I just was a natural. This, totally different.
And, you know, going back to it, I was wondering after, doing some time in the Maldives and Dominica and a couple other little trips that we've done since our last trip down here where we got certified on a rebreather, I was a little worried that would I forget all that I learned? But, it came back pretty quick. And once we got under there and kind of got, familiarized once again with it, it was all good. All right, we got to take a quick break. And, we got to drink a little bit of wine, too. But we'll be back with another segment right here from Grenada on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their live-aboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
You suck. You have to survive when you're scuba diving 30 feet underwater. The next time you dive, suck air through Oceanic's new Delta 4 regulator with dry valve technology. DVT eliminates moisture, corrosion, and hose deterioration. The Delta 4 also features an FDX10 balanced diaphragm for years of hassle-free diving. So admit it, you suck. And you should be sucking on a Delta 4 by Oceanic.
You are a diver and have the Dive Flag shirt, hat, and bumper sticker to prove it. However, you can share your love of diving and ascend to a higher level with Dive Silver. Combining exquisite sterling silver with gemstones, Dive Silver is the perfect way to share your passion for the underwater world. From mantis to mermaids and everything in between, you'll find something truly unique to express your love of diving in the extensive line of Dive Silver jewelry. And at an affordable price, go to DiveSilver.com and see for yourself. That's DiveSilver.com.
Hi, this is Charlene, a.k.a. Champagne, coming to you live from the Spice Island of Grenada. I've also been crowned the Scuba Radio Mermaid for 2010. You're listening to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. And now here's my good buddy who never touched my tail in Grenada or anywhere on the planet, Greg the Dive Master on Scuba Radio.
They may call them bathing suits, but those bikinis aren't big enough to patch a roach burn in my jeans. La 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 la.
Yeah, I don't know what that was or what they're wearing around here in Grenada, but God bless them for it. There's a lot of talent walking around the dive boat and on the beaches. It's a beautiful thing. Here as we celebrate or commemorate the sinking of the Bianca C artificial reef site here in Grenada, a world-class wreck site. And obviously, we're doing it on these rebreathers, thanks to Aquanauts Grenada and Silent Diving Systems, who hooked us up with the Inspiration and Evolution rebreathers and the training that we did. It was pretty, it's just amazing to go down there on these rebreathers and experience a wreck like that, not to mention all the marine life. Now, I noticed at one point on the dive there, Peter, you just kind of took us down there on the wreck, and then we just said, you just said, okay, look, let's just hang right here. I think we're hanging by one of the outcroppings of the structure of the Bianca Sea, and just kind of hanging out at like 90 feet or something, and just chill, just hang and hover and watch. And big school of fish came out. That's usually what you end up doing on the rebreather, right? Because you can get so much bottom time, you just kind of get into a spot and just hang and just see what comes up to you. Is that kind of one of the MOs?
Yeah, exactly. It changes basically also a little bit the way you dive. When you open circuit, you're making a lot of noise and everything, so you're actually scaring the fish. So while you're diving, you're actually chasing the fish during the whole dive. On a rebreather, you can basically just sit and wait. And then the whole marine life just turns back to normal, how it is. So it's like just watching TV, but it's 3D.
It is. It's 3D for it's 4D because you can read 4D, out, reach out, and touch them, right, and the whole thing.
Because actually, in there, it's not an illusion. It's and that makes it so amazing. And you guys are right now. You're actually not. And that's like rebreathers have still this image being like for technical divers, etc.
I mean, very macho, like me and
yeah,
you.
Yeah. I mean, you guys are like you are now on the recreational training level. You know, you're not doing technical diving. I mean, you have to manage the unit. You have, you know, to build it up, put it together. But you see now, after the few times you have actually done it, how quick that goes. Also, the after dive maintenance. Okay, you use a checklist so you don't forget anything.
Right.
Make it safe. But then it goes all very quick. And then during the dive, the unit is full automatic, so it does everything for you. All you have to do is control every now and then that everything is working properly. If something wouldn't be working, the unit will let you know what's wrong, and then you act accordingly. Yeah?
That's so, right. It's Greg proof for sure. We've proven that.
I would even go further. I think it's so easy, a mermaid can do it.
Yeah, well, this is true. And you know, but I'm not going to hide the fact I'm not going to pull back from the fact that once I'm a rebreather diver, that, you know, yeah, I put more hair on my chest, you know. Bigger cojones, that kind of thing. I know that's what Tony was like. The bragging rights, right, Tony?
I did better than you in our class.
Wait, Gerlinda, you want to chime in?
It's so easy, a radio caveman can do it.
That's right, okay. We can go with that, too. No, but, you know, but that is where I wanted to go with this, is that, you know, Gerlinda, you're a certified rebreather as well, and you've been doing this with Peter for some time now. And it has that kind of stigma that, hey, this is a guy thing or a macho thing, and it's not that at all. The women actually usually do better at the rebreather training than the guys. Is that what has been happening? That's what I've been told.
Yeah, well, you know, we are smarter.
Well, you're smarter, and maybe it's that I'm a little bit more in touch with my feminine side is why I've done so well. You think that's what it is?
Maybe.
What, Tony?
Yes. Nothing. Should I mention that barrel sponge you kicked today?
No, you should not.
No, we don't harm.
I don't know what she's talking about.
No.
It
I have
was
no
not
clue.
Harmed. It
Greg.
Just got
Greg,
a
you're losing
a love
this argument, Greg.
Yes.
You're losing it.
I am.
You're losing
I am.
It, yeah.
Okay, so do you,
you
feel...
You can't fight to the left and to the right at the same time.
Well,
it doesn't work.
Well, Tony, do you feel like you're breaking through a glass ceiling by being a rebreather diver? That's what I'm saying. I'm like the whole gender thing, because there is this machismo kind of element associated with technical diving, but you just did this with flying colors. So do you feel good about that, or how do you feel? I mean, did it put hair on your chest?
No, I have no hair on my chest.
You'd be chafing.
I hide it very well. No, you know what? When people start acting all machismo about things, that's when you see people get hurt. So maybe that's what it is with women. We're a little bit more reluctant. We decide to learn. We're more cautious.
Is that what it is?
We are more cautious, yeah.
More cautious, okay. So I'm kind of like a hot dog is what you're saying. I'm kind of like a Evel Knievel. I live life on the edge, and that gets me, that can get guys like me in trouble, is what you're saying.
Those are the guys I see come out on my boats. They're beating their chest. I am the best diver in the whole entire world. I can promise you there's one person on that boat I'm going to have to rescue and go save, and it's usually that diver. That's the problem with macho men that are diving. So rebreathers, I think that's why women are better.
What do you think? Do you buy into this nonsense or what, Peter?
I mean, that's one thing I have to say as, you know, the person who trained a few people over the last couple of years. So, unfortunately, the girls that are really been up to the challenge, they've been very good.
Yeah. Now, between you and, being the instructor for me and Tony, I mean, between me and you, it was me, right?
Just between us. Yeah, I know.
I'm just saying she can't hear us right now. But, yeah, but she did okay for a girl, is what you're saying.
No, she did very good.
What? It's like in skiing. Guys go downhill, and the girls go tailmark, and that's the same with rebreather.
Oh, brother. We're not going to win this one, I don't think.
Tailmark is ski jumping.
Okay. But seriously, between me and Tony, who was the better student, you think? Telemark? What? Telemarketers? Taylor Mark? What?
No, let's forget about that.
Yes, let's not even go there. So I think I missed something that I probably should have got, but it may be better that I didn't.
Let's stick with diving.
Okay, let's stick with diving.
I don't do skiing anymore.
Yeah. You just get hurt doing that stuff. But who was the better student, you think?
Oh, Greg, now you're putting me in a situation here.
Tony's like,
let's put it this way, you know. I mean, in this class that we had together, you were definitely the best male student, and Tony the best female.
Yes,
student.
I win. That's all I needed, Peter. Right. Thank you so much.
Not a man; she's a woman.
Well, no, that's okay. I'm still.
But she was the best female student.
But that's okay. That's good. You should be proud of yourself.
You almost killed yourself twice underwater during the class.
Shush, I did not. It was a test.
It was a simulation.
Yes, it was. I was trying to keep Peter on his toes.
If his instructor pays attention.
That's right. You got to keep people like Peter sharp, right, Gerlinda?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly.
But
right.
If the instructor wasn't, he'd probably be dead by now.
Well, maybe. All right, more coming up from Grenada. Stay close. And welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master Mermaid, Tony, and our friends from Aquanauts Grenada, Peter and Galinda, are with us. Now we fast-forwarded a day after our little wine tasting. It was getting a little too out of control. We had to move to the next wine party. Is that what we did there, Peter, or what?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, we are here at the cocktail party at the Spice Island Beach Resort.
Another great day of rebreather diving.
It was a fantastic day today.
Yeah, I think we may have gotten one of Mermaid Tony's best pictures ever. And that was on the wreck of the Hemi?
HEMA 1 is the name of the wreck, and she was dancing on the wire.
Dancing on the wire. What do you think, Tony?
I was tightrope walking on one of the cables, and I took my fins off, and it is a fantastic picture. Got to check it out on Facebook.
Yeah, it's already Mermaid Tony's profile picture. So if you go to Facebook, you can see it right there for now. Who knows? So she'll probably have that replaced within a day or so with all the diving we're doing here in Grenada on the rebreathers. You think there, Peter?
We might be able to top that tomorrow.
Yes, but that's what happens. You dive on the rebreathers during the day, and you end up at a cocktail party in the evening. That's just typical MO here in Grenada, right there, Galinda?
That's life as usual.
Life as usual. It's a good life. I think it's a pretty good gig you got.
Yeah, life is tough, but somebody's got to live it.
Somebody Everybody's got to do this. Now, what we do, you know, when we travel around the world, the whole idea is to share our joy of diving. And that goes for Mermaid Tony and myself. It goes for Peter and Galinda. But that's what we do as members of the dive community. Isn't this true? You're with me on this, right, Peter?
Yes, it is. Because in the end of the day, even on a liveaboard, we probably will be diving 5 hours. That leaves another 19. We got to do something with.
Yeah, well, you got to do something with, so you might as well recruit more dive buddies, right?
Yeah, finding new dive buddies is always important because we all know about all these bad sharks that are eating the divers away, so we need to find new ones.
Right. That's true. We got to increase the odds for ourselves. And that brings us to Mark from the UK, I believe. And we're going to talk to Mark after the break because we're here at this cocktail party and we're trying to grow the sport. We're bringing more dive buddies or people that the sharks can eat before us. I don't know. We're just yanking his chain, of course. But we'll talk to him next. Stay close. More coming up from Grenada.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Scuba Radio, divers consumer tip number 91. If your dive buddy tells you he's got a turtle head poking out.
Hey, hang on, you guys. I'll be right back.
Do not break out your camera. And I hope your dive boat has an unoccupied head.
Do not go in there. Woo!
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the Rio Dan Good Diving Safety Tip. And in the studio is Nick Bird, CEO and Chief Medical Officer for Divers Alert Network. You know, Nick, you look like a man with a question.
My question, Greg, is who's on your emergency speed dial?
My emergency speed dial?
Well, metaphorically speaking. In the event of emergency, who are you going to call?
Well, not Ghostbusters, but thanks very much for putting that in my head. So, I guess I'm going to call you? Or, well, no, not you, but Dan.
That is absolutely the right answer. Sometimes.
Well, what do you mean, sometimes?
Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. Sometimes in an emergency, there's a lot of confusion as to who should be called and in what order. So we thought we'd clear it up for safety's sake.
Well, if it's for safety's sake, have at it.
The first thing to remember in the event of an emergency is never, ever put a diver's safety or life in danger by wasting time. Always seek out the closest emergency assistance. If you're in an area covered by 911, call it. Or if you are in an area not serviced by 911, call the appropriate equivalent.
You shouldn't just call Dan?
If you have access to no other emergency service, by all means, call Dan first and we will help. But if there are immediate emergency services at hand, call them. It saves time, which in turn means quicker response by EMS.
And then you call Dan.
That's exactly right. Once the emergency response has been activated, definitely give Dan a call. We'll coordinate with the emergency response providers and subsequent medical teams to ensure that the diver is getting the treatment and care they need, as well as any other elements that need attention.
So to be clear, if you're dealing with a serious or life-threatening situation, call 911 and then call Dan.
You got it. Call 911. Then call Dan.
What if the emergency is not diving related?
The same procedure applies. Call 911 and then call Dan.
I know I shouldn't question it, but why would we call Dan in a non-diving emergency?
Every Dan member has a benefit called Travel Assist. It's what provides each member with up to $100,000 of emergency medical evacuation as well as a bunch of other benefits. Since it's not part of a dive accident insurance plan, but rather a standard membership benefit, it's not restricted to diving. As long as you're more than 50 miles from home, you have access to the benefits. And if you need that access, you can do so through the Dan Emergency Hotline.
Hence, call 911 and then call Dan.
Yep. Nice use of hence, by the way.
Thanks. So what if you're not in an emergency situation, but you just need some help?
By all means, call Dan. If you're not sure about a situation, or if you're not sure about what kind of help you need or where to get it, give us a call. We will help.
Anytime, day or night?
The Dan Emergency Hotline is active 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can call it any time, and if you need to, you can call it Collect.
Just so everyone has it, what's the hotline number?
It's 919-684-9111.
Now wait, that sounds like a different number.
It changed a while back when we streamlined the service to include the Travel Assist access.
Okay, everyone get your cell phones out and update the number now. Go ahead, let's take care of it while we're thinking of it. Give us that number one more time, Nick.
Area code 919-684-9111.
Huh, like 911, but with more numbers. Got it. Now, what if we just have a question about something medical that's in no way in an emergency?
Well, we've got a medical information line that operates during regular business hours for that. But please, and we can't stress this enough, if you are having trouble, even if you don't think it's an emergency, don't hesitate to call the hotline if you need assistance. Even if you think it's nothing. If it's enough to raise a question, it's enough to place a call and make sure you're okay.
What if I'd rather call someone I know? It, Dan.
That actually happens. It's natural to want to call a friend when you're in trouble, especially if you feel like you're going to bother someone by calling for help. But if you do call someone, you know it, Dan, you know what they're going to do?
Mock me?
Mercilessly. No, they're going to do exactly what we're telling everyone to do here. They're going to call the Dan Emergency Hotline and get the experts engaged.
So how about if I need to renew my membership in the middle of the night? Can I call them then?
Only if you want to be mocked. No, seriously, membership renewal is the one thing our hotline doesn't do, but that can always be done online.
So who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters!
It had to be said.
Dang, now the song's in my head too.
Time is precious, especially in an emergency. If you're in an emergency situation, remember to activate 911 first and then call Dan at 919-684-9111. If it's not an emergency or if you have nowhere else to turn, call Dan, and they'll get you the help you need. Do that, and you're guaranteed Dan good diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
All right, we are back in Grenada. And first thing, Mark, here we are at this cocktail party, and we found Mark. You need to be a Dan member. That's the first thing you need to do before you become a certified diver. You got, because it's kind of like insurance, and you get a magazine, the whole thing. It's a good thing. You follow me?
Kind of, yeah.
Just say yes. Just go with me on this.
Yes, I do totally follow you.
But basically, we met Mark here at this cocktail party with Peter and Galinda from Aquanauts Grenada. And he has an interest in diving, and we started talking, and one thing led to another. And tomorrow you're gonna take the plunge. You're gonna get certified or do a Discover Scuba. What's the plan?
I'm gonna de-virginize myself from diving. I think that's the general idea, according to Peter.
And then he might get certified as well.
It will be Discover Scuba diving. We will not have enough time for the certification.
Okay, so you're gonna get a little taste, just enough to de-virginize yourself.
Yes, absolutely. I'm looking forward to it.
To get wet.
Get wet and go and explore that wonderful underworld of ours that basically I've been snorkeling around over the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, so it's always been on your list, I'm guessing, right?
It's been a very important part of my holiday vacation planning, actually, yeah.
Excellent. And you're here celebrating a 25-year anniversary, wedding anniversary, yeah, is that true?
Yes, it is, and I hope the life insurance stays in the safe where it belongs.
Well, I noticed that your wife had kind of pulled Peter and Galinda off to the side. And, set up a little side deal before you confirm this. But
I think this has already been done, actually.
Yes, exactly. But that's okay. It's okay.
I'm cool about that.
The only thing she recommended is that you dive down with a meat necklace. I don't know what...
Chicken breast or something.
Stuff them in his BC pocket. That's what she suggested, maybe. But anyway, the life insurance is paid up, right?
It's all fully paid for.
Okay, good. You're good. No. Now, you're going to have a great experience. I have no doubt about it. Well, tell me this. What are your expectations of going down underwater? You said you've snorkeled before, and I don't know how much you've done this, but is it one of those things that's always been on your list? And what do you think it will be like? Let me ask you that.
Okay, that's a good question. Yes, it has been on my list, and yes, I have snorkeled in some wonderful waters, and I've seen some wonderful things, and I think this is just a culmination of all those different experiences, and I hope it lives up to expectation. I'm sure it will do.
Okay, and obviously the five-letter word got brought up. During the conversation, of course, I'm talking about shark.
Oh, a shark.
Because Peter was saying, oh my God, yeah, we saw a big old shark right over there where we'll do our little dive. And you were kind of like, excuse me? What did you say?
No, I was very pleased to hear that there is an indigenous wildlife species that has teeth on it and that's basically not dangerous to humans.
Yes, they won't eat you. They won't eat you. Just don't look like food.
I'm trying not to look.
Try not to look like a skirt steak or something underwater. If you can avoid doing that, you're going to be fine. Trust me.
I'm going to take your lead on that one. I'm actually going to go on a diet tonight, and I'm not going to actually do anything that's going to remotely make me look like a tasty steak tomorrow morning. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to the diet tomorrow.
What is that one of the...
No, Greg, but you can look like a skirt steak all the time. That's not a problem. Just don't look like a tuna filet.
Oh, okay, yeah, tuna. Just don't look like fish. Like a dead fish. Like a mermaid. Yeah, by the way, did you know this is Mermaid Tony, not just Tony?
I heard that, but I have no idea why the mermaid, and I'm sure you're going to tell me in a second. So.
Well, she is our Scuba Radio mermaid. And if you go to scubaradio.com, you'll see say why this is true.
Check out the website. Actually, tonight we made her wear legs. Well, normally she doesn't have legs.
Right. She sold her soul to the sea witch so she could walk around here at the cocktail party this evening and recruit new victims. I mean, students to the underwater world. You hear what I'm saying?
Greg, I think you need to talk to my agent.
Is that your agent? Well, I do believe you're going to have quite an experience. You know, when I got certified to dive there, Mark, it was one of those kind of things where, you know, it changed my life. And you know, it took me a few dives before I really got that zen moment where I had that experience where I like, oh my gosh, this is quite amazing. But you might just have it here tomorrow because the diving here in Grenada has been really top-notch. So you're going to be spoiled right out of the box is my gut feeling. What do you think?
Well, I hope so because I'm going back on Sunday night. So if we can make it tomorrow morning, my Zen moment, it'll be really, really quite easy.
Okay. Well, this is just, you're just getting a taste. So after you can do this, if you like it, you'll have to come back and do some more or go some other place in the world and become a certified diver and join our little club, our little diving club. You game?
I'm up for it and looking forward to it. So
all right.
See you tomorrow morning, Peter.
Good. All right, more coming up from Grenada. Stay close. And we'll see if Mark lives, too, by the way.
Scuba Radio. Would you like to talk diving? Greg, the dive master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
Bula, that's the greeting you get from the smiling, generous Fijians who welcome you to Fiji. And while Fiji's friendly people, white sand beaches, rainforest, and waterfalls are a huge draw for any traveler, divers in the know consider Fiji the soft coral capital of the world. With direct regular flights from LAX on Air Pacific, it's never been easier to live your Fiji experience. Go to FijiMe.com to book dive packages from backpacker to five-star spa resorts. That's FijiMe.com.
You came all the way down here for this.
And scuba diving.
Scuba diving? Who's going scuba diving?
We're going scuba diving. We'll be back in time.
What do you have to go scuba diving for?
For fun.
For fun?
And I'm a scuba-holic. I spend all my time beneath the waves. No more gin and tonic. Scuba diving is all that I crave. I don't need a 12-step program. I never attend. All I need is blue water. I catch a buzz each time I dive in.
We are back in Grenada here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Greg the Dive Master, Peter and Galinda from Aquanauts Grenada, Mermaid Tony here as well. We're at a cocktail party right now, and Peter, I know the guy hosting this is a friend of yours, too, so I'll let you introduce him before we actually talk to the man of the hour.
Yes. Yeah, we are at the house of Sir Royston Hopkin, who is actually the owner of the Spice Island Beach Resort, one of the finest resorts in the whole region. And every other week is available. The cocktail party for all the hotel guests is held at his house, at his property, which is a great gesture of hospitality that everybody really appreciates. And this is where we are tonight. You met some of the people. You heard how much fun they had diving today. So, and now...
It's like happy hour every week, and you host it, right? Say your first name again.
Royston.
Royston. Okay, I want to make sure we got that. It's that Louisiana accent that's throwing me a little bit here on Peter. You hear what I'm saying there, Royston? Yeah.
Comprende.
Yes, yes, indeedy. Now, so I know you have a lot of history here on Grenada because Spice Island, a world-class resort, but you've done very well for yourself, and you actually grew up here on Grenada?
I'm Grenadian. I was born in Grenada and live here for my entire life.
So let's talk about the Bianca Sea, because you were here, I was told,
as a very young man in 1961 when the Bianca Sea burnt in the outer harbor.
And it's become a world-class dive site now, but obviously there's...
From what I understand, it's referred to as the Titanic of the Caribbean.
Yes, indeed. In a good sense, from a diver's perspective, for sure. I mean, but there was a little bit of a tragedy. Tragedy. There we go. I got it right. You run a pretty good happy hour here. You hear what I'm saying, Russ?
Most definitely.
Yes. Now, so when this thing went down 50 years ago, and that's one of the reasons why we're here, is to commemorate the 50-year anniversary of the Bianca Sea sinking and becoming this artificial reef. What happened? What do you remember? Okay,
what do you recall? I lived with my parents at Ross Point Inn, which is a peninsula which looks on and situated on looking out on the entire outer harbor. You couldn't be in a more strategic place other than Ross Point to see what had happened in the outer harbor. If my memory serves me right, it was on a Sunday. I believe it was on a Sunday morning.
You know what? I'm going to go with that. That sounds good to me.
That's why I use if my memory serves me right. And we heard an explosion because we are on a point jutting out into the sea, looking out into the harbor and the outer harbor.
Right.
And then within a few minutes, you saw a lot of smoke billowing from the ship. And within a few hours... the ship was on fire. That's the Bianca Sea.
Right.
And everybody was coming down. All the lifeboats were dropping off. And people were getting into the lifeboats.
It's pretty obvious this was going to be a major situation.
It was going to be a major situation because we have never seen or never had anything like that, even to this day, where a ship, even with 700, 800 people on board, would burn. And in those days in 1961, you only had about 250 hotel rooms or rooms on the island.
Right.
So what happened, my memory is fairly clear on that. All the Grenadians went out in their little boats. Everybody came ashore. You had very few hotels to put 700 people in.
Right.
Because you had occupancy at the time. And a lot of Grenadians opened their homes to a lot of these people who were stranded because all of these people were not able to get out with their personal belongings because the explosion, from what I understand, was in one of the boilers. And then it came right through the ship. And then it was really hell let loose. So...
They had nothing.
They had nothing. Yeah. They didn't have a chance to go back into their cabins and do anything. You had to get up to the upper deck and be rescued. All the Grenadians that had boats or anything knew that the Bianca Sea. So they all went out there in their boats, who rowed, who had little engines. They all went out and rescued everybody. I think there were a couple of deaths in the boiler room.
Right, where the explosion took place. But the triumph of this whole thing was...
The triumph of the whole thing is the way the Grenadian people responded to a tragedy and a crisis of that, because we have never had a crisis in the history of Grenada like that. They eventually had to open up schools where you had to, you know, create dorms for the people.
Sure.
In those days, you did not have any airlift to be able to get 700 people out in a day. It had to take quite a bit of time and days to get little airlift in, because in those days we just had Pearls Airport, which did not accommodate any jet aircraft. And then you just had the 25-seat aircraft coming in and out.
Yeah. So the people of Grenada opened their hearts and homes to these people that were stranded,
yeah,
and found themselves in a situation that was, you know, you can't even imagine how terrible it must have been.
It was something which everybody embraced. They gave the people who came ashore. You ended up in someone's home. People would give you their own clothing to make you comfortable, because they came off these boats with nothing. All their passports, their wallets, their clothes, everything was just down in the bowels of the ship.
Well, you know, that element of Grenadian hospitality, I don't think that's changed in 50 years with all the Grenadians that we've met.
It did not change.
And that's why we're here 50 years from that date, celebrating this event that has become a world-class wreck dive for divers around the world. All right, hour two of Scuba Radio is on deck. We're going to talk more about the Bianca scene, of course, our rebreather diving adventures. Don't go anywhere. More coming up from Grenada.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know, what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.